Well, good morning, everyone. So thankful that you're here on this cold, chilly January morning. I pray that, ask that you stand with us. We're going to go to the Lord in worship and praise and just to glorify his name and thank him for all that he has done for us.
Yes.
Gun shy there now. Y'all were about to be in for a treat. I don't know if it's a good one or not, but I think they were trying to trick me into singing. But we are glad that you are here this morning. How many of you are just glad you're here this morning? Amen. I know we got a lot of people home sick and just struggling things, and it's good to be able to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, we want to welcome you, and if you're joining us online, we want to say we love you, and we're glad that you're a part. And we just pray that God is with us this morning as we worship him. And let's just welcome him here. I believe he's already here. Amen. Amen. But let's just welcome his presence and join me this morning. And let's pray together. Lord, we thank you, God. Lord, that you are here. God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are with us. Lord, you will never leave us nor forsake us, God. And we stand on those promises. Lord, we ask you to be with us as we lift up your name. We worship you this morning. God, be with those at home also worshiping, joining with us, Lord. I pray you just touch them, let them feel your presence wherever they're at, Lord. And God, we just give you the glory and the praise, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You guys can be seated. I'm just thankful that God is with us no matter what, amen. And I wasn't going to say anything, but I just feel this morning as I was getting ready, and we kind of talked about this in the high school Sunday school class this morning. You know, I hope you've been fasting and seeking the Lord. I know we're right in the middle, or just kind of at the beginning of our 21-day fast, but I want to encourage you to really be seeking God, because I believe he wants to speak to us. I believe he wants to talk to us and even the common times, maybe you're just getting ready or driving. But God, I believe, desires to communicate with us. And this morning, as I was kind of getting ready for church and just thinking, I was like, man, I wonder how many people are even going to be here this morning. I know Pastor Phil had called and kind of checked on us earlier in the week and kind of taken inventory of who all is going to be here. And the word remnant just kind of came to mind as I was, you know, are we just going to have a remnant of people there? But as I was thinking about that, milling over that, I was thinking about our, you know, kind of where we're at as a society and just the heaviness at times that we have, all the things going on. We're like, God, where are you at? What is going on? Is there anybody that's still serving you and loving you and desiring the things of you? And I'm going to go ahead and read it. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 30 says, "Once more a remnant of the kingdom of Judah will take root below and bear fruit above. For out of Jerusalem will come a remnant, and out of Mount Zion a band of survivors. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And I just want to encourage you, even at times when we get down, we get frustrated, we don't know what's going on in our world, or we don't know what our government's doing, we don't know with all this sickness and everything else, that God still has a remnant of his people. And I believe he's going to continue to raise us up. And as we seek him and we desire him, the zeal of the Lord Almighty is going to accomplish this. And just want to encourage you with that this morning, and let you know that we love you and we are glad that you're here. Do have a lot of announcements to go over, but I want to encourage you, if you did not grab a bulletin, make sure you grab one. We got a lot of things coming up. Do want to let you know that tonight we will not be having service. Pastor Chad is not feeling well, so tonight I want to just encourage you to spend some time with your family and seek God, and we will not have service here. But we are coming up on our Connect Groups coming up. We're going to have the similar format that we had last fall, where we kind of have a collective group. We do different events. There's a poster out in the foyer there, and it's also on the back of your bulletin. You kind of see what we've got planned. How many of you enjoyed that last fall? Amen. That was good stuff. I enjoyed it. It was kind of nice. It's good to have our small groups, but it was nice to get together as a church and kind of get to branch out a little bit. So look at that. Put that on your calendar. Be praying about that, and hopefully you will join us in that. Also, for our women's ministry, The Water is Life, today is the deadline to make sure that you get signed up for that. The church is going to cover the cost, so you don't have to worry about that. That's this Friday evening from 6:30 to 8:30, and Pastor Steve will be driving. But if you intend to go, make sure you're signed up. Pastor Phil has to send off, leave at 5:30. So although the event starts at 6:30, make sure you're here before that at 5:30. And but if you do intend to go, please sign up. That's out in the foyer. That way we can get the right number of tickets. Also, as I already mentioned, I hope you are participating in our 21-day fast. I want to encourage you. It's an awesome time to be able to just connect with God. And maybe you it looks a little different for each of us, but I think God looks at our heart and desires for us to sacrifice our own will, that his will be done in our lives and in our church and in our community. So I want to encourage you to fast something during this time. Continue to pray for our church, pray for our nation, pray for this town. And just pray that God would do something awesome in each and every one of us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Pastor, have I missed anything? I think we're good here. So I'm going to ask our ushers to come. We're going to receive this morning's tithes and offering. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning, God, that you are with us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to give and to see the things that you desire done in this church and in this community can be part of each and every one of us. Lord, I pray you bless the gift, bless the giver, Lord, and we will give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And as the offering bags pass, why don't you join us back in worship. Amen.
Find me in the valley, standing with my hands held high. The valley will never take my song. Find me in the desert, holding on to you for life. The desert will never take my song. Oh, the desert will never take my song. And I will praise you. I will praise you. I won't let the stones cry. I won't let the stones cry out. And I will praise you. Something in me has
morning just to glorify your name. And as Jeremy said, I think you're just calling on your people to just draw closer to you. That remnant, to just lay it all out there. And Father, in order for us to get to that point, we have to lay down everything. Everything that we put in our life that keeps us from spending that time with you, we need to lay it at your feet. Because once we do that and we surrender completely to you, that's when you move in. Because you know that you have us and that we're willing to give it all to you as Jesus gave it all for us. And we just thank you this morning for that, Father, Lord. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus.
Tear down these idols and every stronghold. Tear down all judgment and all of my pride. And tear down religion and all my self-righteousness. I want an encounter. I say yes, yes, yes to your love, yes to your freedom. I say yes, God, yes to your heart and all of your healing. Your ways are higher, Lord, I surrender. I come to you just as I am. You are who you say.
Holy Spirit, fall on this place. For we just want more. We want an encounter like we've never had. An encounter that I heard of as when I was a kid, of people just falling out all over the sanctuary in the Spirit, that you couldn't run from it, that it was so strong and it was so mighty that you couldn't stand, you had to kneel. I want that encounter, God. So this morning I lay it all, everything that I desire in my life, all that I want, I lay it all at your feet. All my self-righteousness, my pride, I lay it all at your feet, God. For I want an encounter like never before to fall on this church and on our nation that no one can stand except to fall on their knees and to worship you. And we just praise you, Father, Lord, for you said that if we ask it in your name that we will receive it. We come asking for a move like we've never seen before. Some of the people in this church have seen that, and they know and they desire it as well, I'm sure. But I want that encounter with you. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Oh, make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. God, I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Bring new wine out of me. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. And you are breaking new ground. So
so make me your vessel, make me have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. So make me your vessel. Given me, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me.
Lord, bring new wine out of us. Lord, we just honor you today, and we praise you. We praise you for this day in which you've made, and in this day we will rejoice, Lord. I have some prayer requests this morning. As we said earlier, Pastor Chad, amongst others, are sick, and their families are sick, and one of the reasons why we won't be having evening service tonight. Talked to Pastor Steve this morning, and he's not feeling well. Went down to visit his family, and he's actually in bed, not at church with them this morning. And so we have many out sick, many, many. I made lots of calls and throughout the different levels of our church, whether it be teachers or sound people or various other things that are service opportunities here at the church. We have people who are sick, their families are sick, and so we want to pray for them. I want to pray for Debbie Winter, who has a blood clot, and know the Lord's going to take care of that. George Wood is one of our former national superintendents, the superintendent of the Assemblies of God, and he passed away this week. And so I want to pray for, it's a big loss for us as the Assemblies of God, just a true icon and just a discipler of many, many pastors. And he went to be with the Lord this week, and so I want to pray for his family and for our fellowship. It's a big loss. I want to pray for Don. He's over here just playing away at the keyboard, and yet he injured his shoulder this week. And if you could see it, his shoulder right now is all black and blue, but he's given his best for Jesus today. And so I want to pray for his shoulder. And if you have a prayer request this morning, would you just lift your hand and say, you know what, I know somebody who needs a healing. I know somebody who needs a touch. I know a need that needs to be answered. How many know we know the answer, though, right? His name is Jesus. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that although there's a long list of people who need a touch, although there's a long list of people who are not feeling well today, whether it be the virus or other things, Lord, though there's a long list of needs and people who need just your touch of blessing, the George Woods family today and our fellowship, I want to pray for Pastor Chad and Pastor Steve, and pray for Debbie Winter and even Don Caldwell, who's here playing the keyboard today. Lord, even though there's many who need a touch today, we know the one who can change it just like that. And so we ask, Lord, that by your stripes they be made well, that by your voice, by the name of Jesus, they be set free. Lord, we ask today, Lord, that as we surrender our needs to you, that you, Lord, would make a way where there is no other way. Lord, we pray for a financial blessing. We pray for peace. We pray for joy, and we pray for healing. We pray for your presence in this service this morning. We pray, Lord, that we would just hear from you today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You could be seated in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Don. Appreciate you. Amen. The title of my message this morning is Time to Decrease. Time to Decrease. And I had a funny little illustration this morning that I wanted to share with you. And it's, you know, every year we do this 21-day fast. And I don't know what you're fasting. Some of you may be fasting social media. Some of you may be fasting each other. I don't know. You may be I've heard of that before where a wife said, I'm just going to fast you, a husband. And I'm not sure how that went over so well, but maybe you're fasting a meal, or maybe you're doing a Daniel fast. Anybody want to confess to the Daniel fast right now? And you're just craving sweets? Yeah, come on. Maybe you're doing juice and water. I've done that one before, and so right now my family and I we're doing a fast. And but what I find is that when I do the fast, it does not take long before my clothes start to feel a little different. It doesn't take very long before I go. You start to go, man, I am losing weight. And so it's funny because that's not the reason for a fast. If I saw a thing on Facebook this week that said, if you're fasting and still gossiping, go ahead and eat. I saw another one that said, if you're fasting but you're not praying, then you're really just dieting. And the purpose of fasting isn't to just lose weight. That's a byproduct of it. The purpose of fasting is to draw closer to the Lord and to get into His presence and spend more time in prayer. But it is a byproduct. And so today, as the title of my message is "Time to Decrease," I think in the times when I fast, the Lord really does decrease me. I certainly am less of myself physically exiting the fast. But here's what's awesome. The Lord's presence in my life increases. And so we're going to talk a little bit about decreasing and increasing today. And so the main text of scripture that I want to talk to you from today is found in John chapter 3, verse 22 through 30. And so we're going to read it together, all right? It says this: after this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salem, because there was plenty of water and people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put into prison. And an argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him. So I guess we got a competition going here. So this, John replied, a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah. Everybody say, I am not the Messiah. But I am sent ahead of him. This is what John the Baptist said. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. And he must become greater, and I must become less. It's funny. It's almost as if in this passage, just they're arguing and they're going, listen, baptizing is like your gig. Baptizing is what you do. I mean, your name is John the Baptist, right? So, like, that's your thing. And now there's a guy across the way baptizing, right? He says, what's going on here? And so they begin to argue. And so in this narrative, John the Baptist gives testimony about Jesus. And here's what he's saying. The men of that day asked him to tell them about the one you testified about. He said, well, tell us about the one that you've been testifying about. And here is how John the Baptist responds. He says, I am not the Christ, or I am not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. They didn't want anybody to get confused. He didn't want anybody to get confused. He said, I'm not here to save you. I'm just here to tell you about the one who is to come. I mean, you know, that's us, right? We're not here to save anyone, but we're here to tell people about the one who came. He said, he goes on to make some other very powerful statements. He says, the bride, and we're going to talk about these in the message today. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. He said, the friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is filled with joy when he finally hears the bridegroom's voice. He says, I am the friend and I have heard the bridegroom. Because of this, he must increase and I must decrease. What was John the Baptist in this passage? What was he trying to get the religious leaders of the time to understand? What was he trying to get them to understand that they had fallen short of their understanding? What myths and truth was he trying to reveal to them and to get them on the right path? Have you ever had somebody come and ask you a question and you thought to yourself, that's not the right question? You've missed the whole point of this. And have you ever had to redirect somebody when they've asked you a question? This is exactly what John the Baptist is doing here. More importantly, what can we learn from this passage of Scripture? So this morning, I want to share with you four lessons that I think should mold the perspective of our lives. Four things. Now, lesson number one is this. We are not Christ. We are not the Messiah. Can I get an amen on that? We are not the Messiah. Now, here's the deal. Part of that can sometimes feel a little offensive. Like, you're like, well, I'm trying my best. It's not like I'm trying to be Jesus. But there is a part of this message, there's a part of this point that we are not Christ that should be relieving. The salvation of the world, Sheila, the salvation of the world doesn't rely on you and I as far as we're not the Savior. And here's what John the Baptist was saying. You're looking at me and you're going, well, I thought you were baptizing people. I thought you were doing this. And he's saying, yes, but I'm just here to tell you about the Messiah. I'm not the Messiah. You got to quit looking at me. Because if you put all your trust and faith in me, you're going to be disappointed. We are not the Christ. We're human. This is. I know this seems so simple, but it's a good reminder for us today. We are a creation. God created us. We are flesh and blood. We are sinners. How many of you made a mistake this weekend? Baby, raise their hand. Come on. Yes. I was just thinking about something I said to my wife. I thought, put that back in. Anyway, all right, we are flesh and blood. We are sinners. Therefore, we are not Christ, because the Bible says that Jesus, the Savior, came. He came as a man, and he died as a Savior. And here's the deal. He died without sin. So our sin disqualifies us automatically from being the one who saves. We do not redeem. We ourselves do not redeem mankind, nor do we have any redemptive ability. How many of you have ever watched somebody, I got to be careful here, but ever watched somebody on TV and you thought to yourself, they think a little too much of themselves? I've told you this before. I watched a message one time of a pastor, at least that's the title they gave him, pastor, and he was speaking and he preached an entire message, at least that's what he said he was doing. And in the entire message, not once did he ever use a scripture. Not one scripture. What did that man give those people? He gave them his opinion. Because without the word of the Savior, the message falls void. There is no redemptive ability, even in what I'm doing, other than if I speak the truth of what Jesus is saying to us. So we are limited. We're limited. We're not the Christ. We're limited as no God would ever be. We're limited in wisdom. I mean, let's be honest, there are times when daily problems overwhelm us. There are times when all of us in this place have come to the dead end and we're like, I don't know what to do. All of us have spoken those words, I just don't know what to do. And yet the Savior, our God, would never find himself limited to wisdom and not knowing what to do. We're limited in knowledge. The simple questions often stump us. The other day, somebody asked me a question referring to my role as mayor. And I looked at them square in the eye and I said, I do not know. They said, you don't know the answer to that? I said, I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to make up an answer. I'm just going to tell you I'd have to investigate that. I do not know the answer to that. Why? Because my knowledge is limited. I know some things, but the other things I don't know. And we're learning all the time, right? We should be lifelong learners. But because we're limited in knowledge, we know that we're not God. We're limited in mercy. As much as we like to believe that we give mercy to people and we love to give mercy to people, there are times when there are people who do bad things. And if we're honest, the flesh inside of us, the punishment satisfies it. And yet, as a Savior, he has unlimited mercy. We're limited in grace. We're limited in grace. We're limited in love because ours is conditional. Whether we want to believe it or not, we want to believe that our love is unconditional. But if we really examined our love for people, we all have some conditions. Amen? Okay. I just want to make sure you're still with me. No one's throwing anything at me yet. We're limited in understanding because we are a product of our own experiences. We only understand what we've experienced. We only understand what we can relate to. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who can understand where we all come from? That even though we come from a variety of backgrounds, even though we've gone through a variety of circumstances, although we've all experienced different things, God can relate and understand each of us. And so when we pray and we ask Him to intervene, when we ask Him to minister, when we ask Him to do what only He can do, He can do it because He's God. Lastly, we're limited in power. Because we can only go as far as our muscle or position can take us. Last night I was at the Congressman Tom Cole's mother's. Her name's Helen Cole. It was her Helen Cole Memorial Dinner, and I was invited, and so we went, and there was some pretty big names there, Senator. Lankford, thank you, Senator Lankford. Senator Lee from Utah was a speaker, and of course Tom Cole was there, and all these people, and they're all talking. Kelly and I don't know any of them. Well, I know Senator Lankford, but I don't know any of the rest of them. And I've met Tom Cole and through one other event, but they're all obviously know each other. They're talking or whatever, and so we have a seat. And we was driving home. I told Kelly, I said in the end, every one of those people in that room, they're just people. They're just people. These people just like normal, like you and I, trying to do the very best they can, trying to group together with people who have the same ideology and the same vision that they have. But what I need you to understand is every person in that room last night was limited by their position. Now their position may be, because you see them on the news, it may seem like it's higher than maybe our position is, but they still are limited. They only can go so far, yet we serve a Savior whose position is that He's the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. Amen? Amen. But here's the good news is that we don't have to be capable in all these areas. We were not called, am not called, and never will be called to be Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The Lord has a Savior, and we are not Him. We were called to be the one, though, listen to this, but we were the one called to proclaim Him. John the Baptist said this, I am not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of Him. How many of you know that we are like modern day John the Baptist and that we have been sent ahead? The Bible says that He is going to come. He's going to come for His people. And so although we are not the Messiah, although we are not the one that will redeem and save, we know the one who will. And so we've been sent ahead to tell others. So although we don't hold the pressure or the role of saving mankind, we do hold the responsibility to tell others about the one who does. Are you with me today? Come on. We find this in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Most of you could quote it. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is what the Bible says, is that God tells you, says, I will be with you all the way to the end. Just keep going. I'm going to be with you. But go and make disciples. It gives us two powerful commands. First, go and make disciples of ourselves. Absolutely not. For why would we want to pass along our limitations? I don't want people to copy me. The Lord does not need, the world does not need, the Lord doesn't either. Does not need another Phil Freeman. Come on now. Listen. I already set the carpet on fire enough walking around. The whole place would burn down. We'd be sparking if there was two of us. We don't want nor need anybody to place their hope in us. We want them to be disciples of Jesus, for he is more than worthy of being imitated. And then going on to the second command, which is this, is that we teach them to obey everything that that he has commanded us. We need to teach others what he has taught us. Teach people to live with righteousness. Teach people to give mercy. Teach people to give grace. Teach people to love. Teach people to forgive. Teach people to do what is right and pure and holy. What I'm trying to tell you is this, is that their hope, the world's hope, their strength, their deliverance, their salvation, and their redemption lies in only one, and his name is Jesus. John 14, 6 says it this way. And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, you're not going to get that truth in the world today. There's a lot of churches today, unfortunately, who are preaching. They are not preaching this anymore. They're saying, oh, they'd just be good. Oh, you can do this other thing. Oh, you can live these other lifestyles. Oh, you can do things that the Bible clearly says you can't do, and it'll be fine. But the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and only Jesus. Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. It's clear. It's clear. So we must learn that we're the creation, not the creator. We're the saved, we're not the savior. We're the redeemed, we're not the redeemer. We're the messenger, but we're not the message. People's hope rests in our obedience, but it does, thankfully, it doesn't rest in our ability. If we'll trust in God, I believe that God never calls us to do something he doesn't equip us to get done. If the plan called for us as an answer, then the plan would call for failure. But thankfully, the plan is built on Jesus. The second lesson that we can learn is this. Although we're not Jesus, we belong to him. Here's what John the Baptist said. He said, the bride belongs to the bridegroom. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The bride is the church. You're the bride. Come on now. And the bridegroom is Jesus. Our weaknesses come from our flesh, for we are human. But our strength, listen to this, but our strength, we already talked about our weaknesses. We talked about all the things we're limited in. So our weaknesses come from our flesh because we're human. But our strength comes from our spirit, for it's connected to Jesus. We belong to Jesus. Sometimes people say, I can't feel the Lord. I can't feel his presence. I'm telling you, the Lord is embracing you. The Lord is trying to draw you near. Sometimes now the things of this world can cause the confusion and the noise of this world. Can cause us to be distant and not be able to hear God's voice. But that's why I think that fasting is so important, because it isolates those things that so easily entangle us. Could be food, could be social media, could be a variety of other things. And it pushes them aside and says, God, I just need to draw close to you. Because I belong to you. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 15 through 19, Jesus is speaking to Simon Peter after Peter declared that Jesus is the Christ. And here's what it says. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," or the gates of hell, "will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." He encourages Peter and us with these two promises. The first promise was, on this rock, I will build my church. On this rock, I will build my church. Was he talking about our abilities? Was he saying, hey, I'm going to build on Jeremy's abilities, on Lance's abilities, on the grindstaff's abilities, I'm gonna build this church? No, that's not what he was talking about. Was he talking about Peter's strength? He goes, man, Peter, I can see how strong you are. On your strength, I'm gonna build this church. No. The truth lies in this statement. Christ will build his church on the truth of Peter's and our confession that Jesus is the Christ. Who is the rock? Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the rock. More importantly, listen to me very carefully today. In these times of uncertainty, you need to understand Jesus is our rock. There's so much happening in our world today, pushing us back and forth, the winds of change and the winds and not knowing what's true and what's not true, and sickness around us and various other things, and instability and in our economy, you go to Walmart and you're like, where did all the groceries go? It's the weirdest things happening lately, right? But all this uncertainty in our world and the things around us, and yet what the Bible tells us is Jesus is our rock. And we're not on sinking sand. And as his bride, we can rely on him because he's our fortress, he's our strength, and he's our reassurance. How many of you could use some reassurance today? Come on. I've been praying a lot about that. Lord, just reassure me again of your promises. Reassure me again of what you said would happen. Reassure me again that you've got me. Reassure me again that no matter how much the wind blows, no matter how much uncertainty there is, you will be the rock that I can stand on. Reassure me, Lord. And the second promise he gave us was that the gates of hell will not overcome it. As limited as we are as the bride, we are still reassured of this: victory in life. We're still reassured of victory in life. If you will make Jesus your rock, at the end of this whole thing, you will have victory. Can I get an amen? The gates of hell represent all the demons and the evil strategy that Satan can muster in an attempt to destroy the church or to withstand its mission in the world. But this promise reassures us that in spite of Satan doing his worst, the church that Jesus Christ has built cannot and will not be overcome by Satan. If Jesus is the rock, then Satan can't dislodge it. Satan can't destroy it. Satan can't push it over. Satan can't defeat it. God's bride, that's us, will rise up in faith and authority and in the power of the Holy Spirit to righteously assault Satan's kingdom and his dark domain and deliver people. Listen to me very carefully. By faith, the scripture says that we shall deliver people from sin, disease, bondage and oppression. How many of you know our world needs that today? Are you with me today? The gates of hell will not prevail. I don't care what man tries to create. Their power is only limited by their position. I don't care what Satan tries to. Listen, let me tell you something. Satan is limited by his position. He's under Jesus. All right? And I don't care what he comes to muster with. If the bride will rise up in faith, people will be delivered from sin, from disease, from bondage and oppression. How many of you know that oppression, how many of you know people are oppressed today? Come on. We got to quit hiding our head in the sand and believing that, oh, everybody's okay. People are oppressed. There's people even going to churches today who still suffer with oppression, whether it be from things of their past, whether it be things that are currently hitting them. And what I'm telling you today is because Jesus is our rock, if we'll place our faith in him, we can be delivered from oppression. Come on. We are not Christ, but we are his bride. And may we never forget that he loves his bride. He died for his bride, and he will, listen to me very carefully, he will fight for his bride. The third lesson that should mold our perspective is this. We must love his voice. We must love his voice. John the Baptist said it this way. He says, he waits and listens and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. He says he waits and he listens and he's full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. We must live a life full of waiting and listening. That's what fasting's all about. You wait and you listen. I love, we just elected a new superintendent this past, it's been about a year now, Dr. Daryl Wooten. He was the senior pastor at Spirit Church in Bartlesville and is now Brother Cargill after 20-something years retired, and we elected a new superintendent of the Oklahoma Assemblies of God. Tremendous man of God. And one of the things that he did just the other day was he did a retreat, and it was called the Shh Retreat. Shh. The whole retreat was just to come out to the campgrounds. It was so sad that I'd already, before he announced it, had already obligated me some other obligations. I couldn't make it out there, but they had about 70 or 80 pastors out there that were a part of this. And a matter of fact, Elliot, my son, went and participated in the retreat. And so they got there on Thursday at 5 p.m. And they had an orientation. And basically they said, listen, you can go anywhere on the property. Try not to leave outside the fence. If you need to take a break mentally and you want to go to the gym and throw a ball against the wall or shoot baskets, but we're not talking to one another. We're not looking at where the phones are put away. There's no food. There was no food. They did have the fountains for some lemonade and some water and juice and stuff like that. He said, we're going to go from 5 and then at 4 o'clock the next evening. So for 24 hours, they assigned everybody a room. They even gave every pastor their own bunk room so that nobody would they could have their own room to pray and read the Bible. And he said, here's what I want you to do. Just wait and listen. Shh. Just talk to the Lord and let the Lord talk to you. I thought it was awesome. What an awesome idea. So simple, and yet so profound. I think this is what John the Baptist was saying. He said he delighted to hear the voice of the bridegroom. He delighted to hear the voice of the Lord. We must live a life full of waiting and listening, not passively, but with joy and anticipation. Not, hey, Lord, I'm open to whatever you got to say. I mean, if you got something for me today, just kind of, if you could, preferably if you could squeeze it in from 12 to 1, that's when my lunch period, lunchtime is. Kind of busy at the computer in my office, kind of busy building something. I'm kind of busy with kids at the, whatever. If you could fit it in there. No, instead, anxiously awaiting what the Lord is going to speak to us. For in his voice, we know and understand lies these things. Here's what we can anticipate if we'll listen to the Lord. Here's what we can anticipate about his voice. His voice brings clarity. Have you ever been in such a cloudy mess or in a state of mind, and the Lord spoke to you, and it was like he parted the fog? There was such clarity in what he said. When the Lord speaks, there's clarity. When the Lord speaks, there's direction. Now, sometimes that direction can be difficult. Sometimes that direction can be where we struggle with, oh, Lord, are you sure? He can ask us to go and do tough things, but he gives direction. Listen to this. In his voice, There's not only clarity and direction, but there's peace. There's a peace in knowing that this plan was not crafted by the mind of men, but by the mind of God, who has all knowledge and understanding, who has all wisdom, who can see the whole picture. And in his voice, not only is there clarity and direction and peace, but there's truth. You know, sometimes we get advice from people. We get somebody speak into our life, and that's fine. That's great. I think the Lord can use people to speak into our lives. But sometimes we get those, and you ever had somebody speak into your life, and 95% of it resonated with you. There was a little bit. You're going, I'm not sure if that part right there, a little bit. And yet when God speaks, we know 100% certainty and truth. It's all truth. It's all truth. The connection between the church, that's us, and the Holy Spirit, the voice of God, must never be severed. That's when a church gets in trouble, is when the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, and the connection between it and the church gets severed. That's when you begin to see a decline in a church. If we're not being led by the Holy Spirit, we might as well close the doors and go home. Let's all go eat at Golden Corral. Come on, anybody like Golden Corral? I like talking about food. Have you noticed I talk a lot about food when I'm fasting? Come on now. Come on. The Lord sees me, my weaknesses, all right? He knows. We must listen. Listen very carefully. When it comes to the voice of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, we must listen. We must hear. There's a difference, okay? What's the difference between listening and hearing? Listening is I've opened my ears. Hearing is I've received the message. You see the difference? Lord, I'm listening. You ever, you know, kids, you ever listen to your parents, but you didn't hear? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, I'm pretty certain I told you to go clean your room. Yeah, I think you did say that, but I didn't really receive it. You know, I didn't receive it in my spirit, right? Okay, so we got to listen and we've got to hear it. We got to hear what, we got to take it in. And then listen, and then we've got to respond. Then we've got to respond. We are warned that the Spirit of God is not a possession of the church. Too many times the church acts like, well, yeah, God lives here. Maybe. Maybe he does. Maybe he does. Listen to me. We must be warned that the Spirit of God is not a possession of the church or of any human institution. For he is the Spirit of God, not the spirit of the churches. Therefore, listen to me. The Spirit remains free to come and to leave according to God's righteous standards. Are you here with me today? We want God's presence. That's why you always hear me when I pray, and I usually try to open the service. I almost always say, and we welcome your presence into this place, Lord. Because without that, what are we doing here anyway? Remember, the Spirit remains free to come and to leave according to God's righteous standards. We are not Christ. We are his bride, and we desperately need his voice. Amen? All right, the last lesson I want to share with you today, it lies in our acceptance of the first three lessons, and it's this. The world needs less of us and more of Jesus. The world needs less of us and more of Jesus. I can't attribute which minister it was, and I won't get it exactly right. But I remember hearing a story one time of a minister who said, I wish that there was another way to get across the gospel without me having to stand up and tell it. And he wasn't begrudging having to speak the gospel. Well, what he was saying is that he felt so limited, and he wished there was a way that the voice of God, the words of God, could get across without people having to look at the man. Without, what he was saying was, I wish there was some way to reduce me and still increase the gospel of Jesus Christ. I John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. The sooner we understand that all we have to offer originates from the Lord, the sooner we get out of the way. The sooner we understand that all we have to offer originates from what the Lord gave us, we're all sinners saved by grace. Oh, but for the grace of God, there go I, right? The sooner we get out of the way. You see, the world doesn't need a fixer. How many of you are married to a fixer? Come on, come on. Somebody just fix, yeah, you just fix everything. How many are, you don't have to raise your hand. How many of you, though, you're thinking right now, if not only does my spouse fix our things, he or she likes to fix everybody else's things too, right? You ever see somebody's situation, you're like, you know what they need to do? If they would just, right? And it gets real bad when they start fixing people in Walmart. They don't even know them. They don't even know them. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. We all know fixers. But here's what I need to tell you is this. The world doesn't need another fixer. It needs a savior. It doesn't need a fixer. In our own abilities, all we can do is run around and try to patch things up. You ever seen people just running around frantically? I'm going to fix this and I'm going to fix that. And you know what I mean? And just in our limited abilities. But Jesus, all we can do is patch things up. But Jesus can heal the brokenhearted. He can set the captive free. And the Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he came to do. The miracles, all a part byproduct, all right? The message, all a byproduct. His ultimate goal to coming was to this, to seek and to save the lost. Mankind was lost, and he said, I'm coming to save it. In our own ability, the world doesn't need a plan, it needs vision. In our own abilities, we're nothing better than the blind leading the blind. Because without the grace and mercy of Jesus, we would still be blind. Are you with me today? We'd be blind in our sin. We're surrounded today in this world by people who are blinded. They're blinded in their sin. They don't even know that they have a need for a Savior. They have no idea. They say, hey, I'm a good person. I got a kid off the Christmas tree this last year at the mall, and I bought gifts for them. And I go and volunteer down at the homeless shelter, and I take care of this lady, older lady that lives next door to us. And yet they're blinded by the fact that they still need a Savior. Our vision is provided by Jesus. And so our world needs to be connected to the provider, not just another fortunate recipient. We need to connect people, less of us and more of him. The world doesn't need another message. Some of y'all are saying amen right now. Pastor Phil, wrap it up. Wrap it up. The world doesn't need another message. It needs the voice of Jesus. Although gifted speakers and catchy titles and precise applications and moving illustrations are helpful, it helps keep our attention. Hello, all my ADHD friends. All right, that's me. None of them ever brought anyone into the kingdom. Let me tell you what brings people into the kingdom. The Word of God and the voice of the Holy Spirit has always been and will always be the instrument in which God uses to reach the sinner, to make him clean, and to add him to the kingdom. The Bible says the Word does not return void. I've had a couple illustrations that pretty much, but I've had a couple applications. I thought, scratch that out. But the word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, divides the truth. It gets down to where people need to be. I've seen it in my notes, and the worship team can come. I was just thinking, I think sometimes the church tries to put a band-aid on things when the world's needs and problems really require a scalpel. They require a sword that would divide down and get into the wound. We're just trying to band-aid it over. How many churches just, you come, they come in and they just make their people feel good. Just make people, oh, it'll be good. Just, you know, love Jesus, serve Him. But the truth is that Jesus didn't come just so that you could survive. Jesus came so you could thrive. Jesus came so that you could be set free and be healed. He came so that you could be delivered, that your friends and your family members could be set free. The Word of God does not return void. So I end this message praying that we'll embrace these lessons and maybe change our perspective permanently. The sooner we understand that we're not Christ, we're so much less. We're just sinners saved by grace. And that we're His bride, and that we're loved, that He loves us deeply, that He'll not only die for us, He'll fight for us. We need to understand that we're voiceless without Jesus. We really don't have much to say unless it's the truth of Jesus Christ. And the sooner we'll be driven to decrease us and increase Jesus, for He's more than adequate. He's our Savior, and He's our King. He's our bridegroom. He really is our everything. The world needs Jesus. May we be quiet. May we be quiet so that we can hear His voice. This morning, I'd like you to bow your heads. I want to pray for you. And then our worship team's going to come and they're going to sing. And as they sing, I want to ask that you would just find a place at the altar. And here's what sometimes we just say, hey, find a place at the altar and talk to Jesus. But today, I want to give you a specific instruction. Today, what I'd like to ask is this. I'd like you to just, you may start out with thanksgiving. You may start out with a need. But before you close the altar time between you and the Lord, what I'd like you to do is just shh. And listen to the Lord and allow Him to speak to you. For the bridegroom speaks to the bride, and the bride delights in the voice of the bridegroom. Lord, I pray for every person in this place this morning. I thank You, Lord, that You came to seek and save the lost. I thank You, Lord, that You came to be the Savior that we couldn't be, but that we desperately needed. And I pray, Lord, these next few moments, that we would hear Your voice, that You would speak to us in a tangible way. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come? Would you come? Would you find a place? Get alone and just let the Lord speak to you today. Let His voice radiate in your heart and in your mind. And let Him speak with clarity, in direction, in peace.
If the altar's where You meet us, take me there, take me there. What You need is just an offering. It's right here, my life is here, and I'll be to come here, let it fall. We want it all. Your fire is consuming. Fill this place, set it ablaze, and I'll
May we go this week and be the messengers of Jesus. Not the message, but the messengers. May we be not the creator, but the creation. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, the scripture says. We're an example of God's craftsmanship, his handiwork. May we this week honor the Lord for who he is. Knowing that we're limited, right? But that what he can do through us, man, mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. Would you stand with me this morning as we dismiss? Lord, I thank you. I thank you for every person in this place. I thank you for the worship team. I thank you for the ushers. I thank you for every adult, child, teenager, college student. I thank you for every person in this room who you've created. You've created in. Lord, I thank you for the church that is your bride. Lord, I thank you how much you love us. You fought for us. May we leave this place knowing that we don't hold the pressure of being the Savior, but we do hold the responsibility of telling others about the one who is. May we make a difference in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces. May we be the light that's on the hill that cannot be hidden. Lord, once again, I speak against the viruses and sickness. I speak against oppression. I speak against depression. I speak against financial disaster. And I pray and believe and stand upon the promises of your word for the blessings that you have already given and promised to your people. May you walk with us this week. More importantly, may we walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be blessed. We have Wednesday services, and we'd love to have you be a part of that. Youth, don't forget, we have Speed the Light Banquet. We'll be celebrating giving $10,000 this year to missions. Amen, amen.